A reading from Exodus. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. The word of the Lord. A reading from 2 Corinthians. Since then, we have such a hope. We act with great boldness, not like Moses who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened, indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant. That same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. They appeared in glory and were speaking about his departure, which he would accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us being here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. On November 10th, 2008, Eben Alexander was admitted to the Lynchburg General Hospital emergency room with excruciating back pain. Within 4 hours, he slipped into a deep coma, lasted for 7 days, and at the end of those 7 days, he opened his eyes and he thrashed around in bed. After the doctor had removed his breathing apparatus, Alexander took his first unassisted breath in a week. He calmed down and then he said, "Thank you." Looking around the room at his family and his doctors and nurses, he smiled and he said, "All is well. Don't worry. All is well." For Alexander's book about his near-death experience called Proof of Heaven, written back in 2012, rocketed to number one on the New York Times bestseller list, with, of course, the effective help of the very best bookseller in the world, Oprah, who did an hour-long special on it. And so the publisher has printed over 1 million copies. Before his near-death experience, Alexander was describing himself as a friendly skeptic of faith. He wasn't very much a churchgoer. He went on Christmas and Easter. He had spent 25 years as a neurosurgeon, including 15 years at Harvard Med School. Faith in empirical science was his only creed. His eventual diagnosis was so rare that he made medical history, for somehow he had contracted a very strange sickness, and so his doctor gave him very little chance of recovery. His brain's neocortex had shut down, which he describes as inoperative. It wasn't that his brain was working improperly or poorly, but it wasn't working at all. Such was Alexander's medical reality, but his book is mainly about the profound spiritual experience that he had. I won't spoil the story nor address the firestorm of controversy that the book, I guess, had ignited, but suffice it to say that Alexander gives a vividly detailed view of a near-death experience. "We will show you many things," an angelic being told him, "but you will be going back." One message in particular that was important was Alexander comparing his new death experience to this lifting of a veil. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai after 40 days and 40 nights, his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. He had been radically transformed by his direct encounter with God. People were scared to look at Moses or even come near him. It was too much, so that we read that Moses put a veil over his face. And in this case, the veil filtered the unbearable glory of God. In the Transfiguration story, as Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face had changed and his clothes became as bright as flashing lightning, which is an obvious allusion to Moses on Sinai. Jesus was literally changed before their eyes. The natural phenomenon of blinding light was really secondary, though, to the supernatural affirmation of this beautiful voice that came from the clouds. "This Jesus, God's beloved and specially anointed son, listen to him." In the Transfiguration story, Jesus is therefore the new Moses, and in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he is now mediator of this new covenant between people and God. Paul says that we are not like Moses now, who veiled his face. For in fact, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil will be taken. And so as we gather on this Transfiguration Sunday, we move between these extraordinary accounts as found in our readings with the very ordinary events of our beautiful, but often our very troubled lives. But today we can remember that the light of God is not so hidden that we cannot see it in the ordinary life or in the midst of death and sickness and suffering. And what we do here in community, what we have done, allows the veil of life, of hardships and sickness to be lessened a bit so that we may see and hear and receive the gospel of grace and love and mercy. For Jesus, the Word made flesh, leavens and enlivens and infuses and illuminates the ordinary. Jesus comes to us in the ordinary things of bread and wine, of water, and as you can see, the veil that covers the bread and wine being removed for all of us as we receive in faith to move our hard and hurting and troubled hearts to receive, therefore, the gospel. to be changed into the children of God, to be called sons and daughters of God, and as we are knocked down in this life, to know that our loved ones gathered in that glory, and we along with them shall see the Lord and one another face to face. The title of Alexander's book is unfortunate, at least I think to me, because no amount of debate can conclude whether there is a heaven beyond this life other than the promise that all of us hold on to. It certainly doesn't matter to me what debates happen, because I have come to the point in my life where I need to believe in the promise. But what's important is not Alexander's medical miracle, but I think for me is his message of faith, that despite this veil of tears, which is life for all of us, nothing can separate you or those we love from that perfect love that exists to all people through the gospel. This is the reality of realities, Alexander wrote, the incomprehensibility, glorious truth of truth that lives and breathes at the core of everything that exists or that will ever exist. And to experience this in the ordinary or in the extraordinary is to be radically transformed as beloved children of God. Holy God, mighty and immortal, you are beyond our knowing, yet we see your glory in the face of Jesus. Transform us into the likeness of your Son, who renewed our humanity, so that we may share